Be honest. Did you feel that you and I were Grammy shamed by Steve Cochran?
Yes.
I do too.
Can I tell you something, though?
What?
I haven't watched the Grammys in years because back when I loved rock and roll, I guess I still do, you would watch and see tons of rock and roll, and the bands would be fantastic, and there'd be a few that were outside the rock and roll genre.
But most of it was rock and roll.
Yeah,
most
baby.
Of it, right.
And then all of a sudden, it's like, I really don't know who anybody is. I'm sorry I missed Lady Gaga. I heard she was great, but she is great. I also heard Miley Cyrus was great, and I hate to admit that I really like her. I'm a huge fan
of
hers.
Right.
She has a great voice.
She does have a good voice.
So I was watching last night.
You were?
Yeah, and
he's shaming us now.
Yep.
No, and not because it struck me that there's no other award show where you see so much that you know so little about. I mean, you know, for
our age bracket.
Yes.
Right?
For the youngins.
If you're a fan of the rap, then you go, oh, yeah, there's Kendrick Lamar. I knew Kendrick
Lamar.
Jasmine,
are you laughing at that? The rap?
Do you like the rap, Jasmine?
Yeah, but then also Patti LuPone was out there. And
well, you got to represent the show tunes and all
that. We saw Elton John.
Was he there?
Yeah. He was there with Miley.
Oh. Mm-hmm. What did they sing?
Tiny Dancer.
That's my least favorite song.
Yeah, I thought that was an odd choice, but she has such a great low voice.
She does,
it really
man.
Fit
I do
her.
Have to say, I do like
voice
when
well.
They take a singer of old and a singer of current and blend them together.
That's why they put us together.
Yeah, you and me. That was the thought
I'm
process.
The young one.
So anyway.
yeah, Steve, sorry.
That's okay. You know, but if you watch the Oscars, they're all wealthy actors dressed in really nice dresses and tuxes and... You know, the Emmys or TV might not be a fan of every TV show, but here you had people dressed every way you can imagine.
Right.
It just was so many different parts of our population.
Yeah.
Our cultural representation that I don't think there's another award show like that.
I wish you had told us that prior to the awards because that makes me want to see it. Just knowing that, I go, that's a nice blend of things. I would watch for that, I guess.
They're going to have another one next year.
Oh, they'll do it again?
Yeah.
The Grammys are one of the award shows, like for the Academy Awards and the Emmys and to some extent even the Golden Globes, it has my full attention. But if I'm watching the Grammys, I'm almost always doing something else at the same time.
But years ago, the Grammys is the only thing I cared
about. That
was
the big one for you.
That was, you know...
Yeah.
Music was my life. It's still a big portion of it, but I am unhip now.
Oh. I hate to hear you say that. The tide has been stemmed.
There have come... I hate to admit this. I really do.
Huh.
There are times where you are hipper than I am in the realm of music,
yes.
Which makes me want to throw up.
thank you. And it makes me want to know more about music now just to make that happen.
I know. I'm ashamed of myself.
I'm going to take a class at the Discovery Center now just to vex you.
I know, and I, you know, am a self-proclaimed music mother.
Uh-huh.
And
but you got to keep on that. You can't just rest on your laurels. You have to keep on that.
You know, the music area of Trivial Pursuit, I could always rock right through it. Mm-hmm. There was a rock and roll trivia game that I used to beat everybody on. I got to tell you, you give me a run for my money, and then the current stuff, you know way more about.
I keep up on a lot of the current stuff. I really
intentionally?
Do.
Intentionally?
Yeah.
Right.
I swear I do. So it comes from a couple different things. Number one, when I work out at the health club, the station that they have on all the monitors is like, it's current music, it's modern music, so I'm subjected to it 3 days a week, you know, whether I like it or not. It's I'm listening to it and there it is. And also, I try to keep up with what my daughters are listening to so that we can talk about it, you know? So that's cool. I told you, though, when I got in the car with Kylie a couple weeks ago, I knew she had her station on, the B96, and I knew the first three songs and the performers, and she wasn't even fazed by that. And I said, that's a big deal for me to know this. And she goes, why? It's no big deal. But it is a big deal.
See, I was more impressed that my boys know, like, the Zombies or something like that. That, I think,
is
cool.
Yeah, that is cool. That is cool.
Even Dylan, you know, he used to listen to all the B96 stuff. And then here's an idea. If you have a kid who likes that crappy music, you should take him to Van Halen. And then all of a sudden, he likes rock and roll now.
Yeah.
I love it.
That's a wake-up call.
It is. And the Beatles, of course.
Sure.
Turns people around. Was Soy Bomb this year? Was
that
he there?
That was not... No, that's
do you remember
thing
that?
Of the past.
All I remember is Bob Dylan was on stage. Right. There was like a grand jam with a bunch of people.
Right.
And a guy naked, right? Or just shirtless?
I don't think he was fully naked. I think he was mostly naked.
And his sign said soy bomb?
Yeah.
Did we ever find out what that was? And how did he get up there?
We did at the time find out what it meant, but it was unsatisfying. Like, you'd say to yourself, well, that's all that attention for that? I mean, it wasn't a giant deal like it should have been. You know, we wanted more from it.
Yeah, Bob Dylan, an ode to soy bomb, history's most enduring reminder that Grammys are absurd.
Yeah. Well, all award shows, let's be honest, even though I enjoy watching them, they are absurd because who's to say that one person's work is better than another? Like, you can't, unless everybody's either singing the same song, and you could say this about the Academy Awards too. If you had five actors all playing the same role in a movie, yeah, you go, well, that guy was he was the best at it. But it's real there. I mean, every award show really is absurd.
It is. I'm not watching any of them anymore.
With the Super Bowl, you could easily make the argument, well, the best team won. They outscored all the other guys. They got to through the playoffs, and so that makes sense. But with, you know, movie awards or song awards, I don't know. Does it really determine who the best is?
I don't know, but I guess Jimmy Mack was live tweeting it because he just texted me and said the only rock was Gary Clark Jr., whom I love. It was a tribute to Chuck Berry.
Yeah.
The rest of the show was Childish Gamboring.
Oh.
Way to go, Jim.
A shot on Childish Gambino.
Yeah.
He's so talented.
He is talented.
I don't even know
he's
who
so
he is.
He's so talented, he's got extra names. That's Daniel Glover, right?
Yeah.
Jasmine, play a little Childish Gambino.
He's going to be young Lando Calrissian in the movie about Han Solo.
Well, Jim, are you listening? Why are you slamming him?
Yeah, he just took a shot at
the creator
Lando.
of Atlanta.
Yeah,
that show.
Yeah, he was on Community. Did you ever see Community?
I know who this is. He sings.
Troy. Yeah, he does everything. There's not you couldn't name a verb, and he goes, "I got you covered on that. I can do that."
Do you have any Childish Gambino? Let me hear a little.
I think you like it. Now, some of it is true rap, and some of it is almost like, I don't know if it's a parody of rap, but it's not. I mean, some of it's real rap, and others is just kind of like.
This is like the stylistics.
Yes, it is.
That's the first thing that pops into
really
my head, so
isn't
it's like
it?
Old school.
If you just heard that and didn't know what was coming, you go, oh, this is stylistics from 1966.
I'm liking it a little. Lost me.
Oh, that fast?
Now it's a Prince wannabe.
Yeah, I can understand that. I can find, yeah, there's a Prince.
It's a 2-minute song. Why don't you wait for the whole thing?
No, I can tell in 10 seconds whether or not I'm going to like something.
No, yes, no.
The vocals got me. Same with Rush. As soon as Geddy Lee starts singing, I'm done.
They should
it's
hook
like
your
Minnie Mouse.
They should hook your forehead up to electrodes and let people at home watch the bars go up and down and up and down. It's like a roller coaster. All right, we'll take a quick break, and then there's more show. It's Phil and Wendy on WGN. It's Phil Leff, and it's Wendy Snyder. Just moments ago, she and I were Grammy-shamed by Steve Cochran. Neither Wendy nor I watched the Grammy Awards last night, mostly because we don't know who these kids are.
Although I got to tell you, I love Bruno Mars.
Yeah, he's very talented, isn't he?
And you know why? Because I hate to use the old school term. I really don't. You don't like back in the day. Yeah. I don't like old school.
Yeah.
But he is old school. Because
right.
He goes back to not just singing. He's a performer.
Yeah,
he does
really good.
Everything.
He is very good.
He could do every Super Bowl from now till eternity.
He'd be okay
and I'd
with
be
that?
Happy.
All right.
You could mix in people.
Right.
Throw
but it'd be
Elton
mostly
John
Bruno
in.
Mars
yeah.
And then with somebody helping him out. Yeah. There's a fashion statement from last night. Now, as Steve pointed out, if you watch the Grammy Awards, and you can see pictures of it online if you want to, there's some people impeccably dressed to the nines, as the kids like to say, Wendy, and then others who don't quite try that hard. But the person who's getting a lot of attention this morning for what she wore last night is Lorde. Did you see what she was wearing?
No, I heard she was getting fashion shamed.
Well, to some extent. The interesting thing was she was wearing a dress that was a very, you know, just a very pretty dress. And then on the back of it, she had like a, I don't know, like a cardboard cutout of a poem. which is interesting. Like if I felt like if I did that all day long, people would say, hold still, somebody put a poem on you. Somebody scotch taped a poem to your back.
Although yours would say, kick me.
Kick me. Right. But then we'd know who put it there. You.
Yes.
It'd be very easy to determine who put it there. But I always wonder, like, what's the thought process? Like, does she pick out the dress first and then match the poem to the dress? Or does she go into a dress store saying, hey, I have this poem. Which of your dresses best accentuates this poem? I don't know what the order is you do that. That's the reason I never put poems on my back anymore.
Well, you kind of defeat the whole purpose. I mean, I know people are talking about it, and then we can zoom in, and I can tell you what it says now. Yeah. But at the time, you couldn't see it.
I'll read it to you.
Oh, good.
I do not like green eggs and ham. I do not like them, Sam. I am. That would be the poem on my back, actually.
Come on.
So then nobody's really noticing the dress. Everyone's just going, oh, Lord, turn around. Let me read this. You know, that's what it becomes all night long. She also had a flask, by the way.
That I appreciate.
Right.
Something because that's everybody. A long night, man.
That is a long night. It is a long night. But now there's people wondering, and I guess I'm one of them because I didn't see the show. They had 5 nominees for Song of the Year, and one of hers was up for it, but they wouldn't let her perform it. Like the other people all got
because
to perform it.
Because of the sign on her back?
I don't think that had anything to do with it. I don't think.
Why then?
But everybody else nominated got a chance to do it, and she didn't, and nobody knows why.
Well, that doesn't seem fair.
No, it doesn't seem why. But they didn't vote on it yesterday. I mean, the people who voted already had voted, but for the purpose of the show itself, I think everybody should have been allowed to perform their song, but she didn't. And everybody said, hey, how come in the year of the woman, women are being, you know, standing up for their right, how come you didn't let her perform her song?
Well, the quote that was on her sign, it was not a sandwich board. It was much smaller.
Right.
And I think she handwrote it herself.
Oh, nice. Good touch.
She has nice penmanship.
Yes, she does.
She should be a graphic artist.
She was nominated for Best Penmanship, and she also did not win that award.
Darn. Did she get to write in front of everyone?
Yeah. They showed her
performed.
With calligraphy. And again, Kendrick Lamar came out of nowhere. How does he do it?
The quote taken from Jenny Holzer's inflammatory essays says, "Rejoice. Our times are intolerable." Doesn't she have an accent?
She does. She's from New Zealand.
Rejoice. I don't know.
I didn't say she was a munchkin. I said she's from New Zealand.
That's odd.
Our times are intolerable. I don't know what New Zealand sounds like. A Kiwi?
Yeah.
Our times are intolerable. Take coverage for the worst is a harbinger, or do you say harbinger?
Harbinger.
Of the best. Only dire circumstance can precipitate the overthrow of oppressors. The old and corrupt must be laid to waste before the just can triumph. Contradiction will be heightened. The reckoning will be hastened by the staging of seed disturbances. The apocalypse will blossom.
Oh.
Gotta tell you, this confuses me more.
It's a little downtrodden.
How about just a big sign that say women rule or girls rock or something like that?
Girls rule, men rule. Put that on there.
There was a dress with a fetus drawn on it last night, too.
There was?
Who had that?
I thought that's where you're going. I don't know who the artist was, but she was a pro-life. I looked her up. She's tight with the Trumps and some others, I think.
Interesting.
But
Is she a pro-life musician?
Dress. I think so. And it was like a cartoon sort of drawing, not a...
See, if you and I had gone to the awards last night, I would have quickly... here's the poem
I would have
put on your back.
Her.
There was an old man from Nantucket, just to see if you got any press for that. Lord and Wendy Snyder had competing poems on the backs of their dresses.
Singer Joy Villa, V-I-L-L-A. Do you say Villa? Do you say Villa?
Hmm.
She wears an anti-abortion rights dress to the Grammys.
What does that mean, an anti-abortion dress?
Well, she has a picture of a uterus, a baby in utero.
Oh, wow.
I'll never forget.
You don't get that dress off the rack. You have to special order that dress, right? You can't just go into a dress store and go, where are your anti-abortion dresses? Need something for the Grammys on Sunday?
I think Bjork did it for her. She drew it.
Right. But I applaud anyone who, I guess, wants to make a statement, you know, and you can't only applaud the statements you agree with. Right.
No, everybody has. But is this the place for it?
Yes and no.
And then her little purse said, "Choose life."
Oh, well, there's a theme going, and she has a tiara on. Could you pull that off? The tiara look? That's not for everybody.
No, it
works for
her.
People pull it off. I don't know that. I know I couldn't.
I mean, you know, no one was beating up Lord, and she was making a statement. So right. This woman should be able to make
right.
a statement.
Yeah, well, I'm all right.
Actually, I'm more in favor of the fetus dress because you can see it.
Right.
With Lord, you can't read it.
Yeah,
and then
flip
even
around.
After I read it, I'm more confused. The apocalypse.
Lord, your poem doesn't rhyme. I hate to be the one to break this to you. You got to get one that rhymes.
Lady Gaga looks tremendous.
Mm-hmm.
She is so talented.
Mm-hmm. And Pink is also getting a lot of attention because, although Pink also has a flair to dress kind of with some audacity, last night she was wearing what everybody referred to as mom clothes.
Uh-oh. And she's getting shamed for that?
Well, not shamed.
You just uh-oh'd her.
Not shamed.
No.
But everybody's just commenting about how, oh, she's accepted her role as a mom and there's nothing wrong with that. You know, everybody was just the opposite of shaming. Everybody
yeah,
was making excuses for her.
She looked pretty reserved.
Yeah, really, especially for being Pink.
She goes through those phases, though.
Yeah.
I think you can wear whatever you want.
Yeah.
Uh-oh, Grammy's 2018 worst dressed. I got to see if she's one of them.
I don't know if
Heidi Klum is worst dressed. You look at that and tell me if that's worst dressed.
All right, so she's wearing what, you know how at Halloween, no matter what costume you have, there's a regular version of it, and there's what they call a naughty version of it. She looks like she's like a naughty chambermaid.
So do you have a problem with that?
Nope.
I didn't think so.
Fine with it. 100% fine with it.
Oh, we have to take a break, but I'm trying to see if Pink is on. Wait, did she wear...
She wore like something that it looks like if you were going to the mall and you go, oh, I'm going to be in the mall for a few hours.
She had like a white shirt on with a tank underneath
yeah.
it. That was it.
I can't find it. This is the wrong year.
But you
in
see the
pants.
Mom parallel, Mary, like everyone said, oh, she's just dressing like a
very
mom.
Very casual.
Nothing wrong with that.
I just love her. I don't care what she wears.
Yeah.
Love the pink.
Yeah, I'm just seeing her in a feather thing. That is not from this
That's
year.
That's not from last night. No.
All right, I got to find it.
All right. We'll take a quick break. Steve will give you the news. And then Eric Zorn, an earlier version
wow.
of Eric than normal. We usually get him at 11:30, but he's got a busy day, so we'll talk to Eric Zorn. Stick around. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Zorn, 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 the greatest father in all the land. Zorn, 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 we sing the praises of Zorn.
You and I have not seen Eric Zorn in studio.
Well, I have.
You have.
Yeah.
It's been almost 2 months for me.
He hasn't seen us together.
Right.
He thought, you know, we were like vice president and president where we couldn't be together.
Right. Just in case of a mishap. Hi, Eric. How are you?
Do I look older?
Yes.
I told Bill how old you were because I told him about your awesome column you wrote about turning the age that you turned and that I couldn't believe you were that age.
Right.
He's 60.
60.
Yeah.
Now, does this ever hit you? Like, you think of that number in terms of when you were a kid, and if somebody said, hey, in a little while, a guy's coming over and he's 60, you go, oh, so an old guy, an old
yeah.
man is coming over.
We'll have to put all the food into the blender, yeah.
Right. Right. Is he coming to watch Matlock? That'll
right.
be fun to sit down and watch Matlock with him. So do you represent even close that version of the guy you had in your head when you were
oh,
a kid?
Oh, you know, as you get older, these ages that used to seem old to you.
Yeah.
You know, when you're a little kid and someone dies when they're 62 or something, you think, oh, well, he was a ripe old age.
Yeah.
Right.
And now you're thinking, wow, I'm rather young now.
Right.
Still.
But back then, 60 was way older than the now 60.
I think that's true, yeah.
They dressed like 60s. They acted like they were 60.
Right.
You don't look like or
you
act
don't
like
look
you're
or
60.
Act. So
I'm immature is what you're saying.
Yeah, yeah. Immature.
Yes. Now, which keeps you young.
How about Bill, though?
He's going to live to 120.
Yeah, probably. Well, that's my next question is, we're in the bracket that is considered to be middle age, but realistically, we may not see 120.
We're in the final quarter of the
right.
game, probably.
So,
yeah.
So who's throwing that myth out there that 60 is middle age?
People because, who are 60. Are
yeah, I guess
out.
So.
I
yeah.
mean, middle
I know.
Age. I remember when I was a real young reporter, I wrote something about someone who was 30-something, and I referred to them as middle-aged.
Oh.
And the editors had a fit.
Did they really?
That is middle-aged, sort of.
Not really.
Not quite.
Middle-aged is probably more like, you know, 45, 50, something like that.
Yeah.
I would call that middle-aged.
Does this ever hit you also? Do you ever say, I know your wife is a little bit younger than you?
Now a month older, actually.
Oh, a month older?
Yeah.
Oh, so does that ever hit you? Do you ever go, I'm married to somebody who is 60?
I made a lot of jokes about that in that 1 month.
Then it's not funny anymore once you hit 60.
Oh, well, it wasn't funny for her the whole time.
Yeah.
But yeah, no.
Yeah.
No, it's, yeah, I think, wow, I'm with a 60-year-old woman. How about that?
Are you trying to seduce me, Mrs. Robinson?
plastics, is what I said.
You have a busy day ahead of you.
We do. The governors are coming. The Illinois candidates for governor are coming in. The gubernatorial candidates.
They put the goober in gubernatorial.
They do, both of them, I think. It's Jeannie Ives, who mm-hmm. is the highly conservative lawmaker from Wheaton, mm-hmm. who's running against incumbent Republican Governor Bruce Rauner. And Rauner has so far refused to debate with her. But he has consented to come in for this, what they call a joint interview. It's an endorsement interview. Everyone kind of informally calls it a debate. It'll be on the Tribune Facebook page, and you can watch the video anytime today after you're done listening to Bill and Wendy on the stream.
Why has she refused in the past to debate?
Well, I mean, it's a pretty common political tactic, right?
You know, she's not worthy of my time.
Well, she doesn't have a whole lot of money, and he's got gobs of it, and he doesn't want to give her the extra attention.
Right.
And it's, you know, and politicians do this all the time. If they've got a candidate who they think is marginal, who isn't going to get attention, they don't want to share a stage with them. It's, you know, every party does it. You know, I think it sucks. I think it would be really nice if candidates had to debate, because it would be nice if people, you know, got to hear both sides here. Now, Jeannie Ives has really decided, I think, to run against Rauner. There are two things that really animated her. One was his decision to sign this abortion rights bill several months ago. The other was his agreement to make Illinois a sanctuary state when it came to immigration. And these things have outraged social conservatives and base conservative voters. I don't know if they've got enough juice to get over the hump of, you know, Rauner's money and Rauner's, you know, he has got an apparatus in place, a campaign apparatus, very impressive. I don't know that they've got enough to overcome it. The problem is that really hard conservative candidates in Illinois tend not to succeed. There's a whole bunch of them who have, over the years, you know, tried to run from the right. And this is, you know, the Republicans who succeed in Illinois tend to be ones like Rauner, who portray themselves as moderates, or Jim Edgar, Thompson, if you remember them,
sure.
Judy Topinka, you know, all the successful statewide Republicans. That's who they tend to be. The exception that maybe proves the rule was Senator Peter Fitzgerald, who was fairly conservative, who ran, and gosh, I'm trying to remember, Lolita Didrikson, he is the person he beat in the primary.
Wow, all these names.
Who was the establishment candidate. But basically, the establishment Republican mainstream candidates tend to win in Illinois. It'll be really interesting, because I think Jeannie Ives is really well supported among, you know, the core conservative Republican voters.
Yeah.
I think she's going to do well. I don't think she's going to win, but I can see her getting up to 40% of the vote.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I mean, it could be really interesting. And today's debate could be interesting to see whether she's kind of ready for prime time.
Huh.
She's been out, you know, throwing mud at Rauner on the stump. The question is, when she's face to face with him, how's she going to do? Rauner's pretty, as I say, I've seen Rauner up close many times, and I think he's pretty good in these settings. So,
what's his Achilles heel? If you were debating him, what would you go for?
Well, I'm going to be in on the thing. I think one of his Achilles heels is jobs.
Mm-hmm.
Like he was complaining all this time about how Pat Quinn was such a failure because he could have had a really bad jobs growth rate. And the truth is that the jobs growth rate under Rauner has been lower than it was under Quinn.
Wow.
And he has not. I mean, the thing about Bruce Rauner is he doesn't really play well with others, and so he hasn't been able to enact anything that he wanted to enact. And so now he comes out and says, well, I'm not in charge. Mike Madigan's in charge. And just, you know, you got to elect a majority in Springfield for Republicans, and that'll put me in charge. I just don't think, you know, I mean, I don't know how well you can keep running as an outsider when you've been in the governor's mansion for the last 3 years.
So. And wasn't a part of the charm is, you know, let's get a businessman in there. He knows how to run the business, so why wouldn't mm-hmm. he know how to run the state?
I was actually familiar to
what we have at the White House.
You're exactly right. And I was just watching some of the debate tape from 4 years ago when he was debating Quinn, and some of the things that he was saying about, you know, I've run these businesses. I know how to get, I'm a results oriented guy. I can get things done. I know how to work with people and so on. He doesn't know how to work with people.
It's totally different.
And this is the problem. Government does not run like a business. And when you come in, you've got, and admittedly, Mike Madigan is an entrenched power. He's a, you know, Democratic Speaker of the House. He's been there, you know, since the earth cooled off. And he has a lot of control over what legislation moves and how people vote in Springfield. That's all true. That was baked into Rauner's election pitch, which is he knew how to get around that. He did not know how to do it. He came in and just thought he could insult Madigan and turn that into a victory for himself. So.
If you're Ives, do you play up the fact that we went so long without a budget in this state, or do you leave that alone?
I think you do. Yes.
That's unacceptable. I can't believe it.
I mean, the problem is, of course, that the solution to that budget mess was this compromise that involved a tax increase
right.
that Rauner went along with, and the conservatives are still angry about that tax increase, and they think they can roll it back, the state income tax, to like 3%. The state's already, you know, hemorrhaging money. I don't know how you're going to do that and still balance the budget. But yeah, I mean, she's going to go after him on that, I'm sure, as well. You know, the problem was that they didn't compromise. And so they were spending money as though, because so much of state government spending is mandated. Is the courts have mandated, the federal government mandates that you can't not, you know, pay all kinds of things. You've got to make all these payments. And so there's very little discretionary wiggle room for these people to work with. We were spending money. We had to be spending money, but we had no budget. So we had no, we didn't have, so essentially we were running deeper and deeper and deeper in the red. Susana Mendoza, the state comptroller, just came out with a thing the other day saying that we paid, I think it was $1 billion in overdue fines for bills the state hadn't paid. It's $1 billion just down the drain.
Oh my God.
So it's
like late fees?
Late fees, essentially, yeah.
Holy moly.
And so things have been bad, and the failure of Rauner to work with the Democrats, I mean, whoever you want to pin that on, he said he could come in and do that, and he didn't. Now, whether we'll see how well Jeanne Ives wants to press him on that, mm-hmm. because she's also a pretty confrontational candidate. Meanwhile, on the Democrats, I want to talk about the Democratic candidates.
Let's take a break and then talk about.
Oh, but I have to talk about it right now.
No, hold. Can it wait? Two minutes and 8 seconds.
Yes.
Okay.
All right.
Eric Zorn. You'll hear more of him in 2 minutes and 8 seconds. Stick around for that. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Eric Zorn is here, award-winning columnist for the Chicago Tribune. Eric, we talked about the Republican side of things for the gubernatorial race. Let's discuss the Democratic side.
The Democratic side is interesting. There are 6 candidates. Really, the smart money says that only 3 of them are really in the mix.
Yeah.
And that would be
Pritzker,
J.B. Pritzker,
Biss.
Chris Kennedy, and Daniel Biss, yeah. State Senator Daniel Biss. I just don't think that the other one, T.O. Hardeman, Robert Marshall, and Robert Diver, I don't think they have
funding problems.
Funding problems and profile problems and so on. I'm not sure that they are actually viable candidates, but you know. Mm-hmm. And it was very interesting in the debate the other day, Wednesday evening. Carol Marine was presiding over this, you know, it's very tough, and she did a fabulous job.
She's awesome.
A lot of people said that she should be the governor. She's like, mm-hmm. She clearly won the debate. but she was right. One of the questions she asked for the end of the debate is one of these debate softballs that you get, right? Which is like, say something nice about your opponent. And if you remember, Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton got this in the campaign in the debate before the presidential race last year. And, you know, they both said something nice about the other person's
dedicated family man.
Family, exactly. Right. It's one of those things where someone said, or you know, you could say, you ought to be able to say something nice about just about anyone who's not in prison, right? Who's not convicted of a horrible crime. And I told an editor that I could say something nice about Joe Walsh, you know, the former congressman. And
yeah.
He's this horrible right wing radio nut. And she challenged me to do it. And I said, well, Joe is a very passionate advocate of his beliefs, and he clearly moves a lot of people, and he's always very well groomed.
Look at that.
You can say nice things. Nice. That's what you do. So I would say this.
His name is very easy to spell.
Yes. Yeah. Right. And, mm-hmm. and yes. There you go. So mm-hmm. You'd be really
you
good.
Can find
you
should I like run, Eric's way better.
Yeah.
Well, the fact that he's well groomed. I mean, you know, he's often very prompt. I mean, that's those things to say. Anyway,
you can find it.
So they ask you, this is a boilerplate debate question. It gets asked, and they throw it to Pritzker first, and he says something nice about the Kennedy family and the Special Olympics, you know, as you do, mm-hmm. right? Because you want to show grace. You want to show that even though you're fighting hard in this debate, at the end of the day, you know, you're both guys, you're both people, you're kind of on the same side of a lot of issues. They turn to Kennedy. There is this 5 seconds of silence while Kennedy is like looking down at the lectern, and then he says something like, "Well, you know, the problem is that this J.B. Pritzker has become the poster child for all the corrupt, terrible things in this state."
Oh, that's the nice thing he found.
Yes,
to say
and
about
then he said, "So I just can't. Unfortunately, I can't."
Oh, say
this. And that was it.
What was the reaction?
Well, they just moved on. They moved on to Dan Biss, who immediately talked about the Pritzker family's philanthropic efforts. And you know, no matter what you say about the Pritzkers,
right.
they have donated a lot of money, done a lot of
generous.
Good things with that money. You know, it's like it was like talk about low hanging fruit. Yeah, saying something nice about J.B. Pritzker, that's easy.
Yeah.
And so if, to me, I did a column that talked about this and some other things that Kennedy has said recently. It just shows that he's not really ready for this.
Right.
That shows that he's not ready.
Well,
it wasn't just that. It was after the appearance here at the Tribune. They had a Democratic forum. Comes out here and he says, he's talking about the race, and he talks about Bruce Rauner, and he says, yeah, you know, I got to applaud Bruce Rauner for speaking truth to power and going up against Madigan. He's saying nice things about Bruce Rauner, which was the sort of the counterpoint to this other thing, which was that he couldn't think of anything that nice to say about J.B. Pritzker, who's a Democrat who shares 95% of his values, and this guy who is a Republican stands for a lot of things that he doesn't
believe.
He's applauding him. Then at the same time, I think it was Monday, he comes out and he gives this broadside against Joe Berrios, the Cook County property tax assessor, and he criticizes him for underassessing the Hyatt place. And in the course of doing this, he makes this really rookie mistake of not properly identifying the property index numbers for the property. So he talks only about two of the seven, and he assumes that it's for the whole thing. I mean, it was just sort of a crack up that he had. And then Rich Miller, in his recent column, the Capital Facts Guy, points out that his understanding of how property taxes work and how much money is there is kind of thin. That he talks about, well, if we just assess these buildings for more, then we would be able to fund education in Illinois. Well,
That's not how it works.
And especially in higher education, you get property taxes go to local public school education. So anyway, it was just he has not shown a firm grasp of these issues. So I don't know. I mean, it was something that made people think, like, well, everyone had been asking Kennedy for years to run, right? Uh-huh. Like, he's Kennedy.
Yeah.
Camelot. And my headline was Goof-a-lot.
Goof-a-lot, I saw that. Yeah. What do you think of Daniel Biss's commercials that show he and his family kind of getting ready for a day, and then the last shot you see is his house, a very, very modest house. So my thought is, subliminally, they're saying, there's a lot of rich people running. Daniel's not one of them.
Oh, I don't know how subliminal that is. That's really part of his appeal. I mean, he talks about that on The Stump. He is a middle class guy.
Yeah.
He makes, I think, under $100,000 a year. He pays $12,000 a year, something like that, in property taxes.
Right.
In Evanston, you probably know it's a lot. He's a normal guy, and as far as I know, all that's true.
Is this the time to win on that when others have run almost the opposite, said, I'm the king of the universe, vote for
me. It's interesting. You should say that, Bill, because really one of the big appeals of J.B. Pritzker, and I think Pritzker as a candidate has improved vastly. He ran for Congress many years ago and was really not very good. He's a much better coach, much better on point, on message, and so on. But he's got
Oliver Platt will play him in the TV movie based on this election.
And he's got gobs of money, and the idea is that he's going to be able to fund his own race. I think he's all self-funded right now. I don't think he's taking any donations.
Wow.
He'll be able to fund his race. He'll be able to relieve from the Democratic Party of Illinois the obligation of funding these down-ballot races, these state representative races, so that the party can raise a lot more money and hang on to they're going to probably hang on to the House. They'll certainly hang on to the Senate. But this is really going to help down-ballot because you have this extremely wealthy guy who can go toe-to-toe with Rauner money-wise. This is going to be the most expensive governor's race in the history of governor's races. So that's really the appeal, I think, of Pritzker to a lot of people. It's not that they necessarily think that he's the guy who I agree with on all these issues, but that he can really go up against Rauner.
Mm-hmm.
Biss has been pretty good about raising money for a middle-class guy, but he is not going to have the resources. He's going to rely on the party. He's going to be more of a drain on the party when it comes to that. So he's going up against this idea. The idea that he's dealing with, he's floating in the air is, haven't we been trying this here in Illinois, electing a rich guy to his first public office? Aren't we trying that in Washington now? And how's that working out for us?
Mm-hmm.
I think I don't know how, it's not very subliminal. That's what he's saying is, don't we need somebody who understands the middle class?
Your problems.
Life?
I have the same problems you have.
I pay the same kind of taxes you do. Yeah. I've got my kids in public school. I have all these issues. I think that's Daniel Biss's one of his big appeals. So, it's going to be interesting to see where that, it's a three-way race right
now. Isn't it so funny, though, that not long ago, as Mitt Romney is gearing up to run for president, the big criticism is, that's a rich guy who's out of touch with most of America. He doesn't have the same problems we have. And then there was a backlash on that. Let's get the richest guys the better, both here in Illinois and nationally.
Right.
So.
Well, there is that appeal, right? There is that sense of, like, this person really succeeded. Bruce Rauner has been an incredibly successful equity investor. There's no question about that. He runs a company. I mean, he made more money last year when he wasn't even working than he made in previous years because of the way his company runs and his investments and so on. So these people are very successful. And there's this thought, like, well, if you're successful in business, maybe you can run a successful administration. It tends not to be true. There are some examples. I think Mayor Bloomberg in New York was a super rich guy, and I think people.
But isn't the difference when you run a business, when you're the CEO of any business, what you say goes? Everybody just has to go. I don't agree with his decisions,
Absolutely.
But he's the boss, so
Absolutely.
We have to go. And when you're in politics, it's not that
it
way.
It doesn't work that way at all. And running a government is not like running a business. You're not. Your goal is not to make a profit. Your goal is to serve people,
right.
and to make sure that things run well. And that's not necessarily your role in government. So that's the conflict you have to deal with.
The cameras are all out there for the people coming in, the mm-hmm. celebrities. Why don't you go run in front of the camera?
All right.
Out there?
That's what I do best. Eric, great to see you again.
Good to see you guys.
I know you have a busy day.
Yes.
Let us
have
know
fun.
Next week how it all went.
I will.
It's see Eric Zorn of the Chicago Tribune. We'll take a quick break, then some news, then more show. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
I was just ranting and raving about Adam Hoge off the air to you.
You really were, a lot.
I really like him. Adam Hoge knows his sports, Chicago Bears insider, Northwestern Wildcats football, sideline reporter, host of Sports Central, and he's very sporty, if you will,
mm-hmm.
but you don't have to be a sports geek to understand
sure.
him. You can be,
right?
But you don't have to be, and you know where he is now. He's at Radio Row.
Oh, at the Super Bowl? Are you there now? Are you in Minnesota now?
I'm actually at O'Hare.
Oh, bummer.
I'm about to board my flight.
See how real he is?
Because yeah,
he's not
very
even
honest.
Pretending that
very
he's
honest,
there.
Very honest, Adam Hoge. Very honest.
No. I will be there the rest of the week, though. And Wendy, just so you know, they do call me Sporty Spice.
Sporty Spice.
You got it.
How many Super Bowls have you attended, Adam?
Zero. This is my first, believe it or not.
Are you a little excited?
I am mostly excited about Justin Timberlake's halftime performance.
Sure,
if I'm being honest, but yeah, there's a game too. I am excited to cover the Super Bowl. I haven't done it. I've been covering the NFL for 7 years, but haven't made it to a Super Bowl yet. And it should be a really exciting week and an entertaining matchup too.
Realist. Okay. Oh, go on.
I just want to go.
Yeah.
I mean, I got a question for Sporty Spice. Who's playing the game?
Very good question.
Thank you.
Let's see if Adam can figure this one out.
I'm going to take a guess and say the Patriots are one of the teams.
Yes.
I knew that.
Usually they are. And I believe the Philadelphia Eagles beat the Minnesota Vikings last week. I was a little bummed about that, guys. I was looking forward to the Vikings potentially playing in their home stadium, which would have been the first time that's ever happened in the Super Bowl. It would have been it's going to be a fun, exciting week no matter what. But to have the local team in it, I thought would add it to some of the excitement.
Realistically, Adam, do the Eagles stand any chance at all of beating the New England Patriots?
Does anyone stand any chance at all of beating the Patriots?
You know what? I think the Eagles do. I don't think that their defense is quite as good as the Jacksonville Jaguars, which really the Jaguars had the Patriots beat and really should have won that game. And the Eagles aren't quite as good defensively, but they are pretty good. In fact, I thought the Eagles were the best team that I saw in person this year.
Really?
Among the teams that the Bears played, obviously. But that was with Carson Wentz. So when the Bears went into Philadelphia Thanksgiving weekend that was, and they got killed. It wasn't even close. And the Eagles were really, really impressive, but they had Carson Wentz at quarterback. But I got to say, I mean, Nick Foles turned out to be a pretty good backup. He knows the offense, and he's been playing pretty well in the playoffs so far. So, you know, if he plays the same way he did against the Vikings, I think the Eagles are actually the better overall
Interesting.
Team. The problem is the Patriots have Tom Brady.
Yeah. And they just seem to have the ability, when they want to turn it up a notch or two or three, they always seem to be able to do that, don't they?
Yeah, well, I mean, it helps when you're incredibly well coached like they are. And you have the greatest player ever that really just has kind of a screw loose in his head to the point where he's so competitive and so determined that when it comes down to crunch time, it doesn't matter if they're losing 28-3 in the Super Bowl like they were last year to the Atlanta Falcons in the third quarter, they turn it around. And that's why it's so hard to pick against the Patriots in this game, even though I do believe if you just stacked up every single matchup across the board, I think the Eagles. Better overall team.
You know what I like about the Patriots, Adam, is that if you look over at the coach, Bill Belichick, always a big smile on his face, always having a good time.
Yeah, exactly.
what would happen if he did smile? Would it be the end of the universe, wouldn't it?
Did you see at the end of the game last week when they beat the Jaguars?
Yes.
He was actually smiling for a split second.
Trying to smile.
Yeah, so, and then like a split second later, if you freeze framed it, he immediately regretted the decision to hug whoever he was hugging in that moment, because he went straight back to a grimace on his face.
Yeah.
All right, so you're starting a new show. We've been on the stream each and every day from noon to one, and you are going to be following us now starting what, tomorrow?
Starting tomorrow from Radio Row. I will be there every day this week starting tomorrow, 1 to 2 o'clock, live on the stream right after you guys on WGNRadio.com and the WGN Radio app. And then, you know, resume next week back in Chicago, Monday through Friday, every day. So get you a full hour of sports talk every single day. It's Sports Central. We're bringing Sports Central back to WGN. I'm really excited about it. And we'll have a whole bunch of, especially this week. For those that don't understand Radio Row and kind of what it is, other than being a giant radio convention, sports radio convention, I should say, which is basically what it is, I mean, they just flood the place with guests, celebrities. Some are football, some are not. One of the guests I have booked this week is Hannah Teeter, who's a former Olympic gold medalist snowboarder. So you're going to get a ton of football this week, but a ton of non-football, too. There's celebrities, and really it's just should be a lot of fun, and I can't wait to get things rolling tomorrow.
Hannah Teeter's dad, Wendy, is the inventor of the teeter totter. Did you know that?
Ask her about that, Adam.
Bring it up. Question number one.
That's what I will lead with, I promise.
Right. In fact, could you please promise us, since we're going to be probably talking to you every day from now on, don't ever ask interview questions that Bill sets you up for. Ever.
Okay.
All right.
So, I was planning on consulting him every day.
Yeah, you should. Right. You definitely should.
You'd be
that.
Better off consulting me, and I don't know anything.
Okay.
So the people that they set up for you, a lot of times, like you said, it's celebrities. And
like
it's,
Gene Simmons. I see Gene Simmons being there for some reason.
I don't know why. He's always there. But is it current players, too, or are those guys too busy practicing to be able to sit down with you and talk?
No, there's a lot of current players, too, that are – well, are you talking about the ones in the Super Bowl? Those guys won't be around.
Oh, they won't.
The ones that are Super Bowl. But they do have regular media availability every single day leading up to the game, at least through Thursday. So
will Aaron Rodgers be there? Maybe
I don't know. See, that's the kind of stuff where some guys just kind of show up. It's very possible he might be. You know, Brandon Marshall, a former Bear, guy that he usually shows up. I don't know how excited he would be if he saw me, but he's somebody who could pop up on the show this week.
Wait, why would Brandon Marshall not want to sit down and have a word or two with you? What happened?
Nothing in particular.
Adam's honest.
Yeah.
When he was here in Chicago, he didn't seem to really like me that much.
Oh.
So that's okay.
I don't get that.
It happens.
That's unfortunate. He's missing out. Yeah. He's missing out on a good friend. I think you guys could have picnics together and go for bike, like a tandem bike ride. I think that's a fun afternoon for you and Brendan Marshall.
That would be something we'd have to get video of if it ever happened.
All right, Adam, stay where you are. We want to talk more.
Quick text question. Yeah. Are hand pumps allowed on the field from 6-3-0?
That's a great question. What do you think, Adam? Are hand pumps allowed on the field?
For the balls.
The Patriots are playing. I think they are allowed, but only for them.
All right,
that seems right. All right, we'll talk more with Adam Hoge. Stick around. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
You know who else is pretty real?
Who's this?
He's Adam Hoge. He's Sporty Spice. He's my Sporty Spice. And he's bringing back Sports Central, I'm pretty excited because, you know, we would work on the stream from noon to one and then we would just leave.
Right.
But now
we'd vacuum. You and I, as soon as the show's over, we dust and vacuum, put away our toys, go home. Not anymore.
Well, now Adam Hoge has to do it because we'll see you every day. We'll do some cross-talking, although you will be live at Radio Row tomorrow, and that is the debut of Sports Central on the stream with us.
Yeah, we'll still talk tomorrow, though. We'll do some cross-talk and get it going. I'm excited about it. This is the best part, though, is that I get to see you guys every day again.
Yes.
I feel like I don't ever see you.
That's going to change. You'll get sick of us by Wednesday.
Yeah.
There'll be enough of this with the crosstalk. This is crazy. Another accolade toward Tom Brady. At his age, now he's still really a young guy, but by football terms, he's an old guy.
You're right.
Most people would be slowing down. There'd be some diminishment of their skills. Tom Brady doesn't seem to understand that. How do you explain that, Adam?
Well, I think with everyone in sports, there's always some kind of skepticism, but he seems to just, it's well publicized. He has his own book now that's out on how he takes care of his body and you can do it too, according to the book. It's
that's a load of crap. I'm sorry.
There's something going on because last week his hand was all it's in pieces, but he's like Wolverine. Like if part of his body gets hurt, he just regenerates that part of his body. I don't get it.
Yeah. Here's the thing I love about the Patriots. Like every little story gets overblown so much. He had conflicting number of stitches, but it was somewhere between like 4 and 12, which I don't want to minimize the need for stitches, but it was on the top of his hand. Yes, it was his throwing hand, but like you said, it didn't really seem to affect him that much. I think what is impressive overall, though, is how at his age, you're absolutely right, the skills haven't diminished. And you know, I just look at Peyton Manning, who played really late in his career too, but when the decline came, it came really, really quickly.
Sure.
And I keep wondering if that's going to happen with Tom Brady at any point. So far, it hasn't. But I find this whole situation with Jimmy Garoppolo this year to be very, very fascinating because the Patriots seemingly had the guy to take over for Tom Brady, much like Aaron Rodgers took over for Brett Favre in Green Bay. And the Packers made that decision. It was a tough decision to force Brett Favre out and have Aaron Rodgers take over. And in this case, the Patriots did the opposite. They traded Jimmy Garoppolo to San Francisco, and immediately he sparked that team and looked really, really, really good. So I wonder if, 2 years from now, let's just say 2 years, the Patriots are regretting that decision because at some point, it's impressive what Tom Brady's doing, but at some point, it's going to fall off. It just cannot last forever.
Would you say, I know this is a big argument on your sports talk show stations, but is Tom Brady the greatest quarterback of all time, would you say?
Oh, I think he has to be. I don't even think it's a question. You know, the way I always put this is he the most talented? No, I think Aaron Rodgers might be the most talented.
Of all time?
Of all time.
Wow.
Just in terms of the pure talent he has in his arm and his legs and his mobility and the whole package put together. But when you're talking about who's the greatest quarterback, maybe greatest player of all time, it's like you pull out the resume and you start comparing the resumes and not only what they are physically as a quarterback, but their accomplishments. And Aaron Rodgers only has one Super Bowl. Tom Brady has 5. He might have 6 by the end of this week. And there's really nothing else you can compare that to. He is by far the greatest. And I think that was clinched last year with the comeback against
sure.
the Atlanta Falcons
yep.
in the Super Bowl.
Let me throw out one more name to you. Moses Moreno. Do you think he is one of the best of all time?
All right, can you explain that? I don't know who that is. I'm glad you two are having
was
fun.
A Bears backup quarterback for 20 minutes.
Yeah. He is one of the greatest Bears backup quarterbacks
of all time. Yep. Thank you for recognizing that. Really appreciate it. I want to ask you a quick question about something that went on over the weekend. Tiger Woods comes back to play in this golf tournament, and he's putting, and somebody in the audience yells something out right as he's about to putt. Have you seen this or heard this, Adam?
Yeah, I did. The fan yelled, "Get into the hole," which is so annoying. I never understood that desire to do that, but usually you wait until the shot is actually hit, and I guess in this situation it was yelled while he was putting.
Yes.
And Tiger wasn't happy about it.
Can we run it real quick, Jez? You have a tape of this, right? All right, listen to this. This is over the weekend with Tiger Woods trying to sink a putt. Listen to this.
Blade of grass outside the right edge. He can keep the pace on this. It's going up the hill.
In the hole!
Oh, that was right in the middle of the stroke. That was awful.
So the crowd at that point became the angry villagers storming Frankenstein's castle who want to burn the place down.
It sounds like an SCTV bit, kind
no.
of. Did he make it?
No, he missed it, and he was not happy about it. And honestly, the crowds at a golf event, the gallery, the most polite in all the sports, the quietest, and then you just saw people turn and become animals. They wanted to kill this guy.
So what happened to this guy? Did they find out who it was and single him out?
Do you know what happened,
Adam?
I guess I don't know the end story. I mean, they knew who it was for
sure.
I mean, the crowd immediately pointed him out. I'm assuming that he was removed, but I don't know for sure.
He was the guy running towards the gallery door.
Right. I'm out of here.
Yeah. It is pretty funny reaction. Like, it's not the biggest deal in the world, and everyone like really turned very quickly. Oh, yeah. But I mean, it is a clear violation of golf etiquette, no question.
But what's the, like, if you're that guy, have you planned that all day long? Do you say to yourself, at some point, I'm going to yell something out right as a guy is swinging? Like, what goes into that? Is that just a spur of the moment decision to yell something stupid out when a guy's taking a putt?
I would guess alcohol has something to do with it, maybe.
Maybe alcohol.
I hope it's not premeditated, but, you know, some people in this world just feel like they need to be noticed.
Right, right, and he's definitely one of them.
At least Tiger Woods has somebody to blame.
Right.
That's how
the right
I
way
look
to look at it.
It,
Wendy. That's absolutely the best way to look at it.
There's no guarantee he would have made it anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you know what? I watched a lot of Tiger Woods over the weekend, and he had plenty of other bad shots that he didn't have anyone to blame.
Right.
So this one actually worked out pretty well for him.
Can he ever recapture what he had 5 or 10 years ago, or are those days long gone?
I think those days are long gone. I just, you know, it gets back to the Tom Brady conversation. At some point, you just don't have it anymore. But, you know, I was watching a lot of this over the weekend, and I just had this feeling, just how I feel about it. I just want to see him healthy and playing. You know, it was fun to see him back out on the course and make the cuts and wear a red shirt on Sunday again. He wasn't in contention, but it was just nice to have him back. And I just hope that that continues, because every time he comes back, unfortunately, he seems to immediately get injured again and then miss another year. And I just, it would be really nice to see him golf all of 2018 in the Masters, in all the majors. It would just be good to see that.
Sure, absolutely. That's Adam Hoge, everybody. His new show starts on the stream right after Wendy's show and my show, and that begins tomorrow. So if you're already there and you're already listening, why not stick around and enjoy the sports talk with Adam Hoge? Adam, great to talk to you, and we're thrilled to have this opportunity for you on the stream after us.
Well, thank you very much, guys, and I'll be talking to you tomorrow.
You
can't
got
wait.
It.
Thanks, Adam.
Thanks, Adam.
All right, bye.
All right. What did he yell?
I can't make out what he yelled.
Get in
something
the hole.
Something like
get in
the hole.
Caddyshack.
It's in the hole. Yeah.
I'm sure that.
If you do a Carl Spackler impression, I think the crowd is a lot more forgiving to you than just yelling like this guy did.
Boy, wouldn't it have been funny if it was Bill Murray doing it? That would have killed.
Yeah. All right. We'll take a quick break. We've got some news next and then more show. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
My name is Craig. I did drugs once. I am a Spartan. So check me out.
So check us out.
U-T-L-Y. You ain't got no alibi.
Do you remember this from SNL?
Sure, of
Stereo
course.
Terry. Classic. And of course, Will Ferrell, who hosted SNL this past weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And we have our own Spartans in the studio, if you will. It's the Chicago Spirit Brigade, and Vice President of the Chicago Spirit Brigade, April Friedman Hurwitz, in the studio. Hi, April.
Hi.
And you have brought a member, David Godet. Hi,
yes.
David.
Hi.
And you know, it's weird, but I think you know our producer, Jasmine, who, Jasmine, you are also a member.
Correct. That's right.
Were you scared to speak to us? Why do you have the Vice President and David in here?
Well, I just joined in, what is it, August or September when we had tryouts, so I'm very new.
Well, Super April new and member. David are here because they say your dues are not paid up yet.
I paid my dues yesterday.
Yeah, all right.
All right, so first of all, April, you are now Vice President of the Chicago Spirit Brigade. You were a member. I didn't even know this thing existed. What is it? And tell us about it.
Absolutely. So the Chicago Spirit Brigade, we are an all-volunteer performance team, and we're made up of cheerleaders, dancers, and drill members. And we raise money for local nonprofits by performing.
Mm-hmm.
You probably have seen us at the Thanksgiving Day Parade. We are also at the Pride Parade, Halloween Parade, and in a lot of the festivals over the summer, like the Midsummer Fest, Edge Fest, Market Days, just to name a few.
When a lot of us think of cheerleaders, we think, well, there must be some sporting event going on, and that's where the cheerleaders will be, but not necessarily with you guys, right?
No, not necessarily. Like I said, we do a lot of our performances at the street festivals, and occasionally you will see us cheering on at some of the races and walks that go on throughout the city of Chicago, mm-hmm. and we'll be cheering on the runners and walkers throughout the year.
That's so nice. Now, David, when did you join?
I joined 2 years ago, so this is my third
year.
Yeah.
So were you guys cheerleaders in high school and or drill people?
I cheered in high school and then college.
Yeah.
I cheered in just in college. And I actually found that I really missed it. So when I moved to Chicago, I started looking for avenues to pursue. And I found I actually just happened across the Chicago Spirit Brigade. They were performing. They were practicing in my gym.
Oh.
And I saw them. And
that's for me.
That's the story. Yeah, exactly.
April, is this a common thing that somebody doesn't start cheering until college? You would think somebody who would be cheering would have probably done it in grade school and high school and then college, but not you.
Yeah. You know what? I'm not really sure how it came about. I actually was going to cheer in middle school and high school, but I had a softball game, mm-hmm. and that interfered with the cheerleading tryout. So I was like, no, I'm going to stick with cheerleading.
Yeah.
With softball. And then I played soccer. And actually in college, I did rugby and cheerleading.
Wow, look at you.
So kind of, you know, just like the general, don't keep me bored.
Right.
I was
a cheerleader in junior high. I could actually do the splits. I wore lollipops. Do you remember? Do they still make those? They were like
lollipops.
They were a panty, if you will. I hate that word. But they were a panty that matched the color of whatever your school colors were. So when you would jump, you know, boys would go, oh, I see your underpants. No, they are my lollipops. Right?
Yeah, no, we still have those.
They're not called
uniforms.
Lollipops anymore,
no,
are they?
I think we call them like Spanx or...
Oh, yeah.
All right. I am not up on the terminology on what we're calling
you can
things.
Call them lollipops again.
Yeah, I like lollipops. I think that works.
Jasmine, were you a cheerleader in what, high school, junior high?
Yes, so I did cheerleading in high school and college. So
really?
Yeah.
The things we learn about our coworkers, Bill.
Yeah, I didn't know that about Jasmine until just now. I've seen her do the one-woman pyramid, which is very very impressive if you've not seen this.
Now,
I think she could do it.
I graduated from high school in 81, and I think maybe the year before us, 1980 graduating class, was the first time I seemed to really see male cheerleaders on a regular basis. Every once in a while, you'd have like football players come for a basketball game and kind of do some crazy dance. But then there were really male cheerleaders, and they were really good. It really is you need to be an athlete to be a cheerleader, don't you?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
You have to be very strong. And one of the things that we focus on is safety. So you have to be strong with your own body to take care of yourself. And you are also going to be catching people.
I would never trust anyone.
Yeah.
Would you, Bill?
Never.
Because you guys, how many people up where somebody will fall sometimes and you have to trust someone?
This has happened, hasn't it?
Like
I can tell by your
high.
Faces.
Yep. Yeah. Depending on the level of skill we have each year, it'll vary. But yeah, we've gone 3-4 high. And
wow.
I think I was 4 high. Like
really?
Yeah.
That gets up there. That's pretty tough.
A successful landing?
Almost always.
99.9%
I love
of the time,
it.
Yes.
Almost always. So is that the part, if you're in the cheerleading game, is that the thing you dread the most is when it comes down to the pyramid thing? Or is there something else that you go, oh, that's also dangerous?
That's the most exciting for me.
Is it? Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it really does depend on what part you're taking, what part you're doing. Because we also have wonderful dancers as well. And so you should see some of the moves they make. I couldn't do it, just the way they move so gracefully. And you wouldn't think it's not as maybe dangerous, but we've had some, you know, amazing moves with our dancers and our drill members, too, because those flagpoles can hurt if you get hit with them.
Oh, sure. I'm sure.
I accidentally hit someone when I was learning, you know, never in a performance, but...
What was the end result to that? What ended up happening?
There was like a scream.
Oh, just screaming and yelling? Okay.
And maybe a bruise.
Oh.
You know, but, you know, par for the course.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. So. It's Chicago Spirit Brigade. Vice President of the Brigade, April Friedman Hurwitz in the studio, and David Godet. Mm-hmm. He is a member. Also, Jasmine is a member as well of the Chicago.
Introduce her paid up, Wendy. I just want to again clarify because we're getting a lot of angry texts telling Jasmine to pay up her dues. They're paid up.
I do have to tell you, it's, you know, I played basketball in high school. People who play sports can go on to college and do sports. And I guess. you can do it with cheerleading as well. But then once you're out of college, no one knows what to do with that experience and training. So it's good to know the Chicago Spirit Brigade. This is people who were former cheerleaders, or what are the other people that hold the flags?
We have drill members and dancers. And I think what's great about our organization is that you really don't have to have any experience. We have people who come in who have never been a cheerleader, never been a dancer,
really?
Never done drill. Yeah, and we have people who can teach them. And that's what's really great. It really brings in every body size, every age, everybody in the community, and they can join us as long as you're willing to make the commitment.
You've never had anyone come in with like a klutz rating of 10.00 where you just go, we like you, you're a nice person, but you, this might not be your best. That's never happened ever?
Not in the time that I've been there.
Wow.
I think it's really surprising. I think for the most part, you have people who come who are athletic, but we've definitely, even on the cheer squad right now, we have some people who this is their second year and they've never cheered before, and they really make great progress.
Oh, good. That's good to hear.
All right. So you guys perform at all these events throughout the city, and people, I know you've seen them. I've seen them. I just didn't know it was the Chicago Spirit Brigade. But then there's a fundraiser that happens this time of year where you guys need money to run your organization. It's the Big Bang Show. Is that what this is?
Yeah, that's right. This is one of the few times that we're actually raising money for ourselves. Whenever you see we have red bucket events, we're giving 125% to whoever our beneficiary is.
Stop. The math doesn't add up. 125%?
Yeah, we match 25% of anything that we bring in. So,
wow.
Yeah, on top of the 100% that we give to our beneficiaries, we match 25%. And there are times when we are fortunate enough to have sponsors where we actually give them 200% of whatever we
make.
It's
amazing.
Yeah.
That's
great. We suck, Bill.
Yeah. Yep.
I mean, oh
well,
my
you know,
God.
We are always taking donations. You know, if you can't make it to Big Bang on Saturday, we have our website and our Facebook page, and we're always taking donations.
That's ChicagoSpiritBrigade.org.
That's right.
Your Facebook and Twitter at CSB Stars.
That's correct.
What's the best song to cheer to? What song comes on and you go, now watch this. Now I got something. What is it?
Actually, you know what? It's funny. It depends on whatever songs are in our routine for that year.
Yeah.
And the years pass. So I'll hear stuff on the radio that were in routines from the past, and I'll start doing, you know, the moves from it, or, you know, doing the cheering.
Who does Everybody Dance Now? Everybody Dance Now.
Dan, 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 dan. That's fun.
That's a good one. What are you laughing at, Jasmine?
I'm laughing at you guys. You guys are too cute.
All right, so you have a goal, the Big Bang Show. What is this? This is a cabaret style show. Tell us give us all the details about this.
Yeah, so every year we do it's a cabaret style show where members of the cheer, dance, and then drill team, and then we also bring in some
outside performances,
as well as alumni members of the squad. They'll come in and we'll do cabaret style shows, so it could range from anywhere from dance numbers to skits to talking numbers, people singing, playing something.
Variety show.
It's a variety show, if you will.
I will.
Why do you say she will?
It's a lot of fun. We do two shows this year. We're doing one at 3:30 and one at 7 at the center on Halstead.
Yeah.
In Lakeview.
And this is happening this Saturday, correct?
This Saturday. This Saturday, February the 3rd.
$25 for general admission. There's also VIP tickets for $40, which includes reserved seating and two free drink tickets. I would go that route. and this all goes for to benefit you guys. It's a fundraiser called Big Bang. What's your goal this year?
Actually, the goal is
$15,000
for this year. This is our 15th year, and we're celebrating 15 years of love. So we thought it would be a nice gesture to make our goal $15,000. I think it's something that's definitely doable. And
what'd you get last year, just to see? Ballpark.
I think it was about $5,000 last year. So we're definitely,
you
know,
up in the
states.
It's a climb, but
you
can do it.
I think we absolutely can do it. And especially with your help letting us being on the radio, maybe reaching some people who hadn't heard of us before.
Good. We didn't. The sponsors are Mike's Hard Lemonade, BMO Pride, National Affinity Group of BMO Harris Bank, and the Chicago Spirit Brigade. It's their annual fundraiser. It's called Big Bang, and it's happening this Saturday night, Center on Hall. Halstead, right? That's the name of the place?
That's correct.
And to find details and to get tickets, give the information where people should go.
They can actually go to our Facebook page, or you can go to www.csbstars.com.
Okay, and your Twitter and Facebook handle is at CSB Stars, correct?
That's correct.
$25, it's a good night, and it will be a lot of fun. Jasmine, what are you going to be doing?
Well, the theme this year is radio, so we have a whole theme,
really?
To do.
Yeah,
so we have our whole show, and it's catered to radio. So we'll have, like, a morning side of the radio, like the midday, and then we'll have late night, and we have some fun and unique.
Jasmine is going to cheer along to a Rush Limbaugh segment. We're just going to play that in the background, and Jasmine's going to cheer. It's going to be great.
Oh, God, I'm sure he'd be a big supporter.
Yeah. This sounds like fun. Just out of curiosity, when the cheerleaders, the dance team, and the drill team fight, what do they fight about normally?
We usually fight about who gets to walk in front during the parade and who controls the radio.
Yep. Yeah. I get it. Totally true. Understand
the volume.
That.
You know, the volume's real important.
It's everything. Volume's everything.
So nice to meet you. Good luck with all your endeavors. And again, Chicago Spirit Brigade, they're having their big fundraising, Big Bang show this Saturday night. Two performances, 3:30 and 7. You can follow them on Facebook and Twitter at CSB Stars. Good luck to you. Continued success.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, guys. Nice to meet you. We'll take a quick break, then more show. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
As you are, Bill.
I'm going to try to do that. Rich Lenkov will be joining us. You know, every day from noon to 1, Wendy and I go to the stream for an hour. We do the show online only. It's the bonus hour. And our legal expert, Rich Lenkov, will join us to talk about things in the news that deal with the law.
All right.
All right. So that's coming up. Since we were talking about cheerleaders.
Okay.
An interesting episode of SNL on Saturday, of Saturday Night Live. Will Ferrell was the host. I think he's one of the funniest people anywhere. Don't you just laugh when you look at him? That's all it takes. I started to tell you this off air, but I wanted to tell you this on air because I don't remember this ever happening in all the years that Saturday Night Live has been on. The first half of the show was okay. It was funny. It was fine.
It was okay. You're right.
But I don't remember a time where the second half of the show is way, 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 way better than the first half.
I thought they do the good stuff first. That's the way
you're supposed to structure it.
Because I fell asleep after during Weekend Update. I fell asleep. Yeah. It got better after that?
Yeah, midway through Weekend Update, they did two segments where they had guests, you know, sit in at the update desk. Will Ferrell was one, and Heidi Gardner, who's one of the new cast members, did a very funny character.
I saw that. That was pretty funny.
I love that. And then every scene in the second half, I thought every scene was really smart and well-written and funny. And Will Ferrell, just like I said, just show up. That's all you have to do is be there.
He is really in great shape. Did you notice?
Yeah. I don't know what's behind that. But yeah, he does seem to be. Because he's gone through periods. He used to do a character on the show where he was a naked model.
Oh, my God.
And you saw a lot of
Doughy.
Him. Yeah. A little extra.
And the cowbell thing. And I also saw the promo that they were running. Did he do cowbell at all?
No, he didn't do it.
Jeez.
The characters you saw in the promo were not featured. I don't think any of them were during the show.
Leslie Jones, is that her name?
Mm-hmm.
I don't usually think she's funny.
Mm-hmm.
I have seen her be funny.
Mm-hmm.
She scares me sometimes.
Oh.
Well, she's just loud, and she always is hitting on Colin Jost, which I just don't think is funny.
If you'll notice, here's what I noticed. Everything that's gone on with the women's movement, that hasn't happened at all since the women's movement thing and, you know, all the sexual harassment. And I think that's a very conscious move on SNL's part. I think they purposely don't do that bit anymore because it'd be very uncomfortable.
Well, good, because it wasn't funny.
No, I didn't think it was either.
And then Kyle Mooney, isn't that who she's dating, allegedly, in there?
Yeah.
See, that's funnier, but then the Colin stuff I just didn't get.
It was awkward.
But I have seen her be very funny, and included in the promo where she does all of Will Ferrell's characters, including Harry Carey, which she actually did pretty well.
Yeah.
I got to tell you.
Even though he gets criticized,
he wasn't
every time
good.
He does it because it's not the most accurate Harry Carey impression. It's a weird take on Harry Carey.
Yeah. It's really just slurring and big glasses. It doesn't really sound much like
the premise was Harry Carey had his own talk show in heaven.
Oh, yeah.
It's pretty funny.
But I love Will Ferrell, and I will watch the second half of it. I want to tell you that I saw Lady Bird finally.
And you liked it?
I loved that movie.
Yeah, I'm anxious to see it. I've heard good, really good things.
Three Billboards I saw too, which is really, honestly, one of the best movies I've ever seen.
Wow, high praise.
Just the acting was tremendous.
From everybody.
The concept was great. There's not a lot you should say about it because you need to watch it.
Yeah, let it kind of unravel in front of you. Yeah, I thought the acting was superior. Everybody
really good.
Really strong.
I'm seeing movies. What's wrong
Look
with me?
Look at you. Everything's
changed. I
should
get my knee replaced more often. I can't go out to a bar yet, so
So movies
I'm a
are the way. Good,
yeah.
Good. All right, a quick break. Then Wendy and I are headed toward the stream, and we'd love to have you there. If not, stick around because Steve has the Wintrust Business Lunch. We'll explain more next. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.